Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, hey, and welcome into the House of L podcast. I'm Lauren Tomes. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. It is appreciated. We are brought to you by the fine folks over at Remy Martin. Team up with excellence. Although they are going to update that, we're going to move to a different slogan, but we love Remy. That's that. This cat, by the way, for those of you who can see, for those of you who are listening audio only, come on over, subscribe to the YouTube page. It doesn't cost anything. It's not. We're going with the old model. We're going to stick with it. We'll have an advertising model until we can't have one anymore. I don't see any real reason to change. I guess I could change if I wanted to enrich myself, if that was the only goal, but it's not. The goal is to, because theoretically, like, let's say, like, right now we're at about, what, 7,000 subscribers to this YouTube page, and more than that for House of L as an audio platform, which is why I want the people on audio to come on over to visual, because it does actually help me. But even if I got 10% of you to do a Patreon, I would make a lot more money per month. I just don't feel right about it, though. I feel like, and maybe it's because I've spent my whole life in an advertising model, and maybe I'm just too old to change. But I don't feel right about it, about the idea of charging a subscription for you to be a part of this. Like, there's so much stuff that's behind a paywall. My hope is that because there's so much stuff behind a paywall, that when there is quality content, which I feel like I put out, that is free, that you will support it. And if you can support it, then that means, you know, more views, more money, all of that good stuff, without me reaching into your pocket directly. Like, that's not something that I want to do. The overhead cost of me doing videos and putting out podcasts is pretty low. So House of L itself can make money even without going the route of Patreon or a Patreon-esque thing. Eventually, I'll just sell my feet. I'm just going to take pictures of my feet and put them up here, and you'll love it. You're probably going to hate it. Actually, though, you know, my lady friends have told me that I have nice feet. I don't know if I can make any money off of that, but not bad for a guy with like 3 scars on the feet from surgeries. But I digress. That's not what you came here for. You didn't come here for feet conversation. Or maybe you did. You did not. You came here to watch me and listen to me talk about the Bears. Let me tell you about my Friday night. So Speegs is on vacation this week from the radio show, which means that they come to me and they say, hey, are there some people that you want to work with? And yeah, and I have a list of people that I'm like, hey, see if such and such is available and such and such. But the week leading up to Labor Day makes it difficult, because ideally what you want is the same person every day. But I ended up, we had to kind of put it together where it's going to be a great week. I'm excited. I'm really excited about it. Carmen Vitale is going to do Monday. Big Ann Heron is going to do Tuesday. And then Russ Dorsey is going to do Wednesday, which I think coincides with having Craig Counsell on the show, which ends up being great to have Yahoo's baseball writer there so we can talk to Craig Counsell. And then the Cubs play like a 3 o'clock game or something. So there's no show on Thursday and I took Friday off. And I'm looking forward to having a few down time days when I don't have to think about the show at all. And then we'll crank it back up once Labor Day is done and we will be in week one of the football season. But Friday, you know, I talked a little bit to Tanny about kind of what I wanted to do. I got some topics that I want to do. Some of them, if you watch this episode or listen to this episode, you'll be better prepared for when I present them on the radio show. But we talked a little bit, and then I said, I have a little bit of time before the game kicks off because it was a 7:20 kickoff. I was like, I'm going to go get a lift in. Our gym at the station just got remodeled, and it's kind of amazing. So I was like, I'm going to go lift. And as Dick Geron would say, a good hard lift. So I went and got a good hard lift, took a shower, and then I said, it's Friday night. The city is my oyster. You know how gorgeous it's been these last few days in the city. I went to one of my favorite places. I like to go back to Lincoln Park when I can. I have the opportunity to occasionally like run into my students and other faculty members when I go to Lincoln Park's campus, even though I teach downtown. There's a place there called Old Pueblo on Webster and Racine. They don't pay me to say this. I don't get any in off the bill or anything like that. It's just a really good atmosphere. And since I was by myself, I was just like, I'm going to sit at the bar. They have great shrimp tacos. I love their crispy shrimp tacos. And I love, it's hard to describe. It's like a wheat corn, like a flour corn mix of their tortillas. And it's a really good thing. I know this is not necessarily like a food podcast, although occasionally I do talk about it. But I love their queso too. So I'm sitting there just chomping on some chips, getting ready for my tacos. They have margarita of the day. I didn't like the margarita of the day. I was like, that's not what I was looking for. Not my flavor profile. And his Bears fan, Joe, shout out to Joe, was sitting there and he said hey and was really nice. He bought me a margarita. So thanks to Joe while he was waiting for his wife to finish, I think, a Pilates class or something like that. So we started talking about the Bears as the Bears game kicks off. And man, was the first 27 minutes of that game really ugly for the Bears first team offense. Now, I'm glad that Ben Johnson kind of kept him out there, and he may have kept him out there longer than he had intended, but it was some of what you saw Friday night, or if you recorded it because you were out and you went back and watched it, or you heard about it. What you saw Friday night is what most people have seen who cover the team in practice on a daily basis. Sloppy, pre-snap penalties, Caleb doesn't look quite right in the system, that sort of stuff. And so I'm just sitting there going, ooh, this is all the things that we've heard about how the first team offense looks. And, you know, I loved how they looked last week. But even inside of the episode last week, I said, well, you got to keep in mind that this was against the number twos that they were playing against. And they put more credence into what they saw in the practice against Buffalo than the game against Buffalo. With Kansas City, it's a legitimate dress rehearsal. And I give credit to both teams. Andy Reid is kind of notorious for this, that he puts Patrick Mahomes out there and he lets him play. And he let him play. And I know that we're going to spend most of our time over the next few days talking about Caleb Williams. But let's also talk about the fact that Patrick Mahomes kind of just was like, I'm going to go up and down the field on y'all. It was 17-0 before you could blink. And that's not just on the offense. That's on the defense as well. But the offense, I think, is the thing that people will be most interested in on whether or not it can get fixed. And you know where I stand on this, or at least I hope you do. And if you don't, let me tell you where I stand on this. I feel like if things are going to happen in a positive way for Caleb Williams, they'll probably happen in the second half of the season. there's been a lot of stuff that's been thrown at him, and that's been on purpose. They're trying to overload him with stuff to try and figure out what he can and what he can't handle. The good news is, there's good and bad about them getting to week one. The good news is that a game plan is not the same thing as a playbook. Being responsible for the entire playbook is daunting, especially when it's brand new. A game plan is, okay, here's how we're going to attack Minnesota. And you can pare it down and just say, all right, this is what we're going to focus on. We're going to drill this all week, and hopefully it's going to work out. Minnesota's dangerous. It's a good thing that this game is at home instead of on the road. You saw the Bears offense struggle a little bit with all of the stuff, the operation of the offense. They struggled with it being on the road. At home, it should theoretically be easier, but you are talking about a defensive coordinator who is really good at confusing quarterbacks, and he's really good at bringing pressure. They've got some issues up there in Minnesota, like from a personnel standpoint, but they're formidable because of scheme. And the Bears will have to be equally as formidable because of scheme and personnel if they want to win that game. So you go, oh, man, what's the lyric? Shit was all good just a week ago. 5 days earlier, it was good. Caleb was decisive and he threw the ball. I think it's very important that when Jason Leisure asked Ben Johnson about the sack, and he's like, yeah, you know, after 5 seconds, and Ben Johnson was like, yeah, that's a lot of time to throw. I think that's significant. Where in the Buffalo game, the ball was coming out at like 2 seconds, 2.2 seconds, 2.4 seconds, which is ideal. Taking a sack while you're sitting there surveying everything, not great. To Caleb's credit, on that particular play, he didn't flee the pocket, but you got to know when you've lost the play. It's one of the things that I am concerned about with him and whether or not he'll let go of some of the stuff that happened in the past. And I was trying to explain this to Joe, who I was sitting at the bar at Old Pueblo. The stuff that you did at USC, when you're doing that against Oregon State, and I think Oregon State was actually decent while Caleb was there. Let me pick another example. The stuff that you're doing against Stanford, there's a major talent gap. And shout out to Timmy Chang, man. I'm so happy that college football was back this weekend. Timmy Chang in Hawaii, it was taking it to Stanford. Andrew Luck brought in Frank Reich, and his team is undisciplined and not very talented. But shout out to Timmy Chang. There is nothing better, man. Because I think Timmy Chang and I are about the same age. There was nothing better in college. You've been out all night, and you get home, and you're like, oh, shit, there's a Hawaii game on right now. I caught the third quarter of Hawaii BYU or whatever, and they're playing on the island. And everyone's look like they're having fun. And Timmy Chang's throwing for 600 yards. Just out there, air raiding it up. Just whatever it takes. And now he's the head coach in Hawaii. And his quarterback did really well against Stanford. But I digress. You can't do the same stuff that you did against Stanford in the NFL. Caleb made a lot of plays off time, off platform, outside the pocket. It's one of his superpowers, to be honest, is his ability to look downfield, to string out a play, and then throw a dime 45 yards down the field. The NFL is different, as Chris Carter once told me. Football is hard. And now, when you're dealing with guys that are so fast and their recovery is so fast, you don't have a lot of time. And while Caleb is a special athlete in regards to an average human and most NFL quarterbacks, he's not elite in comparison to the athleticism of the elite quarterbacks. Or even, like, take Justin Fields, for example, whose athleticism is elite, even though he hasn't fully put everything together from a passing standpoint. So, yes, it's possible for Caleb Williams to break the pocket and make a couple of plays. He's athletic enough to do that, but he's not Lamar Jackson special or Josh Allen special in that way. I think his athleticism is pretty comparable to Brock Purdy's. And that's not bad. Like, that's good. And then I think he's got more arm strength than Brock Purdy. So you end up with, you know, what you hope is a really good mix at quarterback, but you can't run away from a lot of these guys. And you can't just say, well, something's going to open up. You got to learn when you've lost the play. And that's a hard thing to calibrate, because Patrick Mahomes is weird though, because I wouldn't call him in the classical sense a great athlete, like run, jump athlete, but somehow he seems to play faster than timed.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Like, when you watch him, look at all the plays, because he makes a ton of plays with his arm, but look at all the plays that he's made with his legs. I do think that eventually where Caleb will be, if Caleb's good, one of the things that he will be able to do is get himself more time in the pocket. He did a little bit of that last year where you're like, ooh, I thought he was going to be sacked, and he kind of ducked under, and then he was able to come up for air and throwing out, and it was cool. He just has to understand that some of this stuff is just not going to be possible. And while he thinks that every play can be a touchdown, and that's a great way to approach it, sometimes the better play is to throw it away. If it's not right, if you missed the first read or you were late, just throw it away. Or if you're going to be back there doing the Kyler Murray thing, then get up the field and go get 5 yards. Make it a positive play. But it was sloppy. And you can take my opinion and say, you know, you don't know. That's a quote from Ryan Poles. I listened to him. He was on the broadcast as I was driving home. He was on the broadcast and he was talking about how sloppy the first half was. And then the head coach called it sloppy too. So you know what? I'm going to go with sloppy. It was not what you wanted to see as they head into the regular season. But here's the beautiful thing about it. Preseason's over. Now you've got 2 weeks to get yourself ready for a challenge. Because you know what Brian Flores is going to try to do. And he knows this is going to be such an interesting coaching matchup. Man, like, the possibilities of it are, like, for someone like me who's a football geek, like, I can't wait to see it, because you have two coaches that know each other. Brian Flores being in Minnesota, Ben Johnson being in Detroit. Now Flores can balance things out from a personnel standpoint and a newness. Like, this offensive line, I think, is pretty good from a personnel standpoint, but very new. How's their communication going to be in that first week? Is it going to be up to a challenge like the one that Brian Flores is going to present for the Bears? Is Caleb going to be up for it? I thought there was some real progress in the Buffalo game, and I don't want to dismiss that. I like that Caleb spent his time dropping back, hitting the top of the drop, throwing the ball. Against Kansas City, they did not make it as easy. And then there's the... Then you go, okay, well, that's disappointing. Like, it was a very weird game because it was disappointing, and then you get the third and fourth quarter. Tyson Bagent went out there and balled. And then there's with John Day Walker. Let's call him John Day Walker Black. He was out here making plays. He's made enough plays where the wide receiver spots are pretty much locked up because they have Rome and they've got DJ Moore and they drafted Luther Burden and everyone likes Olamide Zaccheaus. That dude, he's made so many plays and so many impressive like body control plays. Plays that are more than just I got schemed open. He's made physical plays that I imagine there's some coaches around the league going, I wonder if that guy's going to get cut because we could use a developmental wide receiver on this team. But Bagent rallies the team back. They end up winning basically in a walk-off. And with all the good feelings around Tyson Bagent this past week because he signed his contract and he's being paid, I think it's so funny to me. I salute the Bears for this because for the last few weeks, I've been getting daggers thrown at me because I've been saying that Tyson Bagent is QB 40, meaning there are somewhere between, depending on rosters, there's somewhere between 75 and 90 quarterbacks in the NFL. And I have him in the top half of professional quarterbacks. But somehow that makes me the bad guy. The money that they paid him is actually QB 39 money. So my scouting eye is not bad. I'm not here to tell you that there is any sort of quarterback controversy because that would be ridiculous. It truly would. And Caleb's been really supportive of Tyson. Like I've noticed on social media, Caleb, when he got his money, he was happy for him and he posted it. He posted the game winning touchdown. I hope that is coming from a place of, I feel very secure about being QB1, not in the league, but on the team. And I hope my backup continues to do well. If Caleb would like for people to stop asking for Tyson Bagent, which they should, because if Caleb's not good, if he's not good, I was thinking about it the other day, and I know that Ryan Poles has got his money, but if we get to the end of the experiment, and maybe the end of the experiment is in the middle of next year. Some people would say it should only be this year. I think that's unfair. I think you got to let the young man unlearn and learn. That's been my whole thing. But if we get to the end of this and he's not good, what's your argument for keeping Ryan Poles? There really is one. Because I feel like Kevin Warren should probably get the props for redoing the hiring so they got Ben Johnson. But I wonder how patient, and this is something that we don't know, how patient is Ben Johnson as a teacher? With Jared Goff, you had a quarterback that even though he got traded, had played in a Super Bowl, had thrown for over 4,000 yards, and had a few years under his belt. I keep thinking about this as another rookie season for Caleb. I know there are a lot of people who do not want to give him that grace. I do. But how patient is Ben going to be with a younger quarterback that it might be frustrating from time to time? Like, I'm sure he's frustrated with what he saw on Friday, and his post-game press conference, I think, speaks to that. How patient is he going to be? I hope incredibly patient. I hope he's more patient than the rest of us. But we'll see. Caleb didn't help himself. Not that he needs to. He's got guaranteed money, and he's the starting quarterback of the Bears. But as far as public perception goes, Friday night was a, man, this doesn't look good. Like, why is this not better? I think that's kind of where I land of like, wow, why doesn't it look better? And before you tell me about the end of the first half, let me offer you this. I already know that Caleb Williams can, why I think he'll never be a bust. Okay. I already know that dude in a 2 minute system in a two minute situation is a problem. I know he can do that. I've seen him do that. I saw him do that in games that the Bears lost because of the Bears defense, or because Tyreek Stevenson has gone crazy, or because the coach didn't call a timeout. I've seen him in hurry up offenses be effective. I know he can do that. That's where he thrives. And that's the thing that's scary to me. I know that when it becomes unstructured, he can do that. What I want to know is, can you play on time? Can you get the ball out? Can you make plays inside of structure? Can you allow yourself to just be okay with, this play went for 7 yards, even though you were thinking this play is going to be a touchdown? He is a master of chaos. His style of play is perfect for a 2 minute offense. Now that I know that you can do that, I know that you'll always have a job. I know that the idea of you being a bust is off the table, because there aren't a lot of quarterbacks who actually do thrive in that pressure. It's an encouraging sign for me, but I know he can do that. I saw it on the professional level last year. What I don't know, and what I'm not sure about, is day in, day out, snap after snap after snap, can he be disciplined? It's why I keep bringing up Jared Goff. Everyone wants to think that playing like Jared Goff is some sort of slur. It is not. If Caleb Williams puts up the type of numbers that Jared Goff has put up over the last couple of years under Ben Johnson, we're all going to be really happy. It'll be numbers that we've never seen from a Bears quarterback. And if you fall into the camp of thinking that Caleb is more talented than Jared Goff, and how dare you mention those two guys in the same breath, Jared Goff was also one of one. He was the first pick overall in the draft. And I get it. You were promised jetpacks, as we talked about last week. I would very much like to see him play like Jared Goff. I know he can play like Caleb Williams, if that makes any sense. I hope it does, because I just explained what I meant. But I hope that he plays like Jared Goff, on time, in structure. And then the beautiful thing about having the improvisational skills that Caleb Williams has is, when everything goes haywire, when a receiver falls down or the blitz is forcing you out of the pocket, you know that there is some special stuff there with a guy who can make plays. But the structure, I need it. I need him to be someone you can trust in structure. So here we are. Cut down day is on Tuesday. I'll probably do an episode about that once we get the roster isn't quite finalized even after cut down day, because there are usually veterans that are floating around that they don't want to have signed before week one because of guaranteed money and dumb stuff that the NFL loves to do to the middle class of the NFL. But I'll probably do a little something on Tuesday about where the Bears roster sits after they cut down to 53. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Please subscribe. Please support Remy Martin and all the things that we do. I got a really nice email about the travel episode. And for those of you who are on YouTube, the audio only stuff, like, I did a whole episode on the Negro Leagues Museum. I went to Kansas City, did a little baseball there, was able to watch the White Sox and the Royals play, go to one of my favorite parks, which is Kauffman Stadium, which is a really cool place. They share parking lots, by the way, with the Chiefs over there. I don't know if you knew that, but if you didn't, now you do. But you can go listen on House of L's page on Apple or Spotify if you want to check out those episodes and what it was like for me to go to Kansas City and enjoy myself. I appreciate you listening or watching, whatever it is that you do. I will talk to you next time. Peace.